We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully Henley.
You guys are ignorant and you're also naive.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Jason Hayward, 6-game hitting streak.
Yep.
Batting 370.
Huh?
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
That guy?
And doing it in key moments. Two out hits, extra base hits, driving in runs, meeting the moment and saying the cliche, just keeping it simple. But he's doing something right. He's really hitting the ball hard, and it's no longer just the weak ground ball to the infield, to second base, first base. It's amazing to see, and maybe he has, in fact, turned a corner. I don't know if everyone's on board with that, but until he gives you a reason to revert back to thinking you got to protect him, right now he's good to go against just about anybody. You don't have to worry about him against really good lefties in particular.
Listen, the fact of the matter is that we were trying to justify Jason Hayward's career for a while here. Well, you know, the defense is great. Well, he gives a great meeting. Boy, he stood up in front of everyone and they won the World Series because he talked everyone through it. But we've been trying to make up reasons and excuses to justify what was an outrageous contract. If this guy can be a piece of it, imagine how good they can be.
Mully and Henley.
Fruit and toot and fruit and.
I'm Ragnar. Pay me.
That's how I roll, buddy.
Start your day with the teams you know.
I am not worried about Moncada. I am actively not worried about him. It takes a lot out of me not to worry about him. It's a real effort. I find myself increasingly uncomfortable talking about Moncada because as much as I pretend it's not a big deal to me, it is bothering the hell out of me.
That ball's hit well by Moncada. Into center field. And out of here.
Mully Henley.
This is all tricky.
Here we go.
Told you not to worry about Moncada. Mully and Henley. How you holding up there, Brian?
I'm as good to go as James Shields. And if I mean good to go, I mean get on the phone and trade him yet again.
All right. So, here we go. Yeah. We're back on.
Yeah.
The Cubs managed just two hits in a 4-0 loss to the Brewers. So they're back in second place. Wah, wah, wah. For a day. Because they straighten the ship tonight. They handle the Cardinals. And they're right back in. Not only in first place, but they're not running away with
not
it.
Not as good as you had hoped last night. We were sitting down and watched that one. Not really anything there to... Well, I guess the Yu Darvish bullpen session.
Well, they're in their heads.
Yo.
What's that?
And last night the Brewers did the little things.
Boy.
They did the little things and the big things.
That rundown was pretty ugly.
Huh? Wow.
That was...
I watched that in real time. I watched it on the replay. And this morning I watched it like the Zapruder film. I mean, I'm really trying to figure out...
How did that happen?
Yeah, and really, like, in order of responsibility or screw-ups, you prioritize who did what and who wasn't where.
Do you have it? Do you have it all laid out?
I think I do. And
they took too long to get the guy out.
Well, first of all, you have to watch one replay. Doesn't even have Anthony Rizzo in the picture because he's literally standing on home plate watching this whole thing, and then he sees Kane going back to first, and he's like, oh, boy. But, I mean, he said he was reading Contreras, and Contreras trots up the line to go to third base because Bryant's at second base, and Addison's, I mean, but...
It looked wrong.
Well, I think it all started because Javi didn't hold on to the ball long enough, didn't run Yelich back to the third enough because he was coming at a weird angle. I mean, to get to the ball and start the play, kudos to Javi. But ultimately, Chatwood never has the ball in his hand. It's in his glove the entire time as he's running Yelich back to second.
And
he doesn't even transfer the ball.
In retrospect, it was only one run.
Well, it was two. It ended up being two.
But I'm saying there would have been one out and the double.
They would have got one out on the play.
Both guys ended up scoring, but it would have been one run.
When you have an infield single off Chase Anderson, a chopper two hopper, as Hawk would say, down to third, and that's you're not exactly ripping the cover off the ball. So,
if you want to go through it, if you really want to live this, we have four versions of the Feld rundown.
Oh, it's
not one, not two, four.
You had Almora, Hayward, and Bryant all standing at second base, and Chatwood with not even the good intention to take the ball and throw it anyway. Even though Bryant was like, "Give me the ball," he almost looks like he's telling Yelich to come back to second base. He's like, "Throw me the ball," and Chatwood's just running after him like it's a race, like he's running a relay or something.
You come stand here. Yeah. I'm going back to first.
Well, that's what Kane was doing.
That's what he did.
Kane was directing him.
Yeah. Stand right there.
You're going to have
no
that
one
race.
Back
right.
over here.
I'll be over here. We'll be good.
And then they had the little, I don't know, is that a thing they do?
Everyone's got the dugout guys got signals and the base runners got signals
got
to the dugout. Like make it rain or the money team or something. Or
money team. Tyler Chatwood walked two in five innings of work. Two. That's pretty good.
No.
Okay.
No.
Just
ask. Did you see the Shaw first double? What was the pitch count? What was the count on him at that 3-1?
The problem is when you say the first one.
Yeah. I mean, it's a 3-1 count. So he's one away from giving him the free pass. And if the option is a hitter's count and he just rips it down the line, you know, give him the free pass. So it wasn't like he was ahead of the hitters all night. You know, God bless him.
But the guy, two walks. That's pretty good.
Okay.
Let's take the small victories where we can find them. Yeah, it was a great pitching performance by Chase Anderson, and it may be an unexpected one, too, maybe. And, again, the rubber game is this afternoon. Mike Montgomery throws for the Cubs, the old 1 o'clock start. We get out of here at 9. I'm pretty sure we could get there for the start of that game.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt.
Milwaukee is not that far.
My brother lives in Wheaton, and I always tell him, you know, he invites me out to a barbecue. I say, I can get to Milwaukee quicker from downtown Chicago than I get to Wheaton pretty much any time of the day.
That is not a bad trip at all.
No.
I mean, really, I'm just saying. That's that, you know, Milwaukee is just like, it's kind of just a suburb, right? You just go to the outlet mall and keep going for a few minutes.
Yeah.
There it is. Hit the Brat Stop. No? Mars Cheese Castle, someone said yesterday. Kevin He squinted and shook his head.
Stop
you don't
it.
Like the Mars Cheese Castle? You just don't like cheese.
You know, big cheese guy.
How was the? Did your trip to Fox Lake work out?
Did you get to Jerkyville?
I went to the jerky outlet. It was great. There was no vegan jerky for Ray, unfortunately. But me myself, I got a lot of jerky. It was quite a trek out there. It's really out there, Fox Lake. I didn't realize.
Yeah.
You'd be better off going to Milwaukee. Frankly,
well, that's not where the jerky outlet is.
Oh, I'm just kidding.
Go where the action is.
Fox Lake's a long way.
Yeah. Fox Lake's
the action.
Yeah,
the jerky outlet was good.
Yeah,
you know what the other thing about Fox Lake?
Too.
If you ever have the misfortune of going there on the weekend, I mean, there everybody goes to Fox Lake on the weekend. It is really you'll have a difficult time with the traffic.
Well, Texter said that I don't know if this is true or not. That more bars per capita than any other city in Illinois.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that explains everything.
Yeah.
No wonder,
wow. Explains the
no
weekends.
Explains the beef jerky outlet.
Yeah. Need a little salt to go along with it.
It's on the water. It's a seasonal type of town.
That's the lake.
Yeah. There's more
part of the.
It's a boozy boat type of town. It's not seriously. Yeah, they have to like really keep
Even
control
their,
of it.
Their cops were drunk too.
What? Is that true?
Just the one.
The one.
Just the one.
Yeah, dope.
It can't be casting aspersions. Yu Darvish threw 30 pitches in a bullpen session Tuesday. Joe was encouraged. We'll get into some of that stuff. The White Sox, back-to-back homers from guess who? I told you that guy was fine. Yoan Moncada and Yomer Sanchez to start the game, and the White Sox score 3 in the first, go on to beat the Indians 5-1 behind the aforementioned James Shields, his first win since opening day. 7 innings, Brian. He allowed
5 hits?
Four hits, struck out 2, no walks. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Same two teams tonight. Dylan Covey, we've really found something there, he goes. I was talking to a guy yesterday about Dylan Covey. When you run into a fellow Sox fan and the topic of conversation is Dylan Covey and how good he might be, and you stumbled upon one.
Did Dylan Cease's name come up?
I just worry that we're putting the Malecki on Dylan Covey. I was kind of like, oh, don't say anything. Don't mention it out loud.
Yeah. It's like the Hayward hitting streak. Whoops.
Yeah, shouldn't have mentioned that.
Yeah, well, all good things come to an end.
Miguel Cabrera ruptured a biceps tendon. Jeez.
How old's Miggy?
Oh, he's getting up there.
I mean, done for the season. Is that it for the Miggy career?
He's 35. Is that it for the Miggy contract? Because I think
when you see,
as long as you have to pay a guy, you might as well play him.
It's just this benign swing, and immediately he knows he's holding the arm, and as soon as I thought, ooh, is that the end of Miguel Cabrera?
He'll be a free agent in 2024 at the age of 43, in case Kenny Williams wants to bring him to Chicago.
Is Bobby Bonilla still getting paid then? He's going to get one of those deals where he gets the direct deposit for the next 8 years.
The Washington Capitals held their championship celebration. Whew! I mean, I worry for Alexander Ovechkin. I just worry for him.
His wife's pregnant, right?
I don't know what's going on with him. He's got a lot going on.
That might be the only thing
he's
that's
drinking for two. Usually
that might be the only thing.
She's pregnant. She's eating for two. He's drinking for two.
He's drinking for three, buddy. His future child needs.
I don't know when she's due, but that might be the only thing that sobers him up between now and the next hockey season is the birth of the kid.
And he's got a potty mouth. That happens. They had their big championship celebration.
What's up, babes?
The Warriors also had their parade.
What's up, babes?
Now, the Warriors, I read a story. The Warriors had $500,000 worth of booze on their buses. $500,000 worth of booze.
So what are they drinking? They're drinking
champagne. Like they're like spraying Ace of Spades champagne all over the crowds. I don't know.
How much does that go for?
A couple bucks a bottle. A
couple hundred?
Right.
But still, that
Cristal
do the math.
And, so you're Dom getting Perignon. I mean, so how much does that stuff cost? $100 a bottle. That's a lot.
But that still is way too.
A couple hundred bucks.
If it was
a
couple thousand.
Lots of Bud Light. That's a lot of Bud Light.
If it was a couple thousand a bottle, that'd be a lot of bottles.
Here's the question, Dustin: have you consumed $500,000 worth of booze in your life?
Oh gosh, no. I don't drink anything high end, obviously.
I'm just saying.
I know.
I'm
how
saying
old are you?
43.
And when did you start drinking? 3.
I'm going to leave that one out.
The man before has children.
Before I was 21.
A minimum of 20 years. Let's go that way.
Okay. What's up, babes?
A minimum of what? 14 a night over 7. What?
$500,000 worth of booze. I'm still trying to. If the champagne was a couple hundred a bottle, you'd have to have a bus just for the bottles.
And that was off of their 400K locker room celebration.
Well, I mean, it's the NBA. That's lunch money.
Yeah. Wow. The World Cup starts on Thursday, as does the U.S. Open tees off Thursday morning. So a lot of big international and national events going on.
I'm just thinking, so at the 500K, you'd still have $3 million to get Jordan Bell.
I mean, honestly, the most expensive thing I've ordered out to drink is probably a bottle of Papillon.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's that wine you ordered when we were in Vegas. Everybody was like,
what'd that go for?
Like $1.10, $1.10 maybe.
So retail, it's like 55?
Buck and a half. It's about 75 retail. Huh. Maybe it's a buck and a half.
Is it a rule of thumb? Like restaurants double the price of what the retail would be, and there's already a markup in retail?
The markup on wine in restaurants is outrageous.
At least double. Double what you pay for. And
that's why I always bring my own flask.
That's a good idea. It's
filled
a good practice.
Filled with the finest wines known to man.
Old granddad. Yeah, excuse me. No, I don't need any ice.
Yeah, I can't imagine that booze that expensive. I don't know. Seriously. Like, what do you have like an Indian wedding? And I don't even know if there's booze involved in those. Do you ever see the giant expenditures of weddings in India for like the uber wealthy? It's just insane. That's holy cow. All righty, we'll get to the 5 at 5 next. 312-644-6767 is the number. We've got some fun questions for you, and we've got a big show planned, so don't go anywhere. Mully and Hanley on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This segment brought to you by Indeed. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in just minutes, set up screener questions, and zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at Indeed.com/hire.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hanley. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley starts now.
What or who was the biggest reason the Cubs lost on Tuesday?
I think it's Chase Anderson. I think the guy pitching, you know, 7 innings of one-hit baseball. How many in a row? It was like 14 at one point.
17. Last 17. 17. Said goodbye.
Yeah. I think that is really what happened. They met a guy that had his night, and that happens in baseball. And I could they have done better in different things? Okay. But when a guy is pitching that well, it's awful hard to win.
I'll second that, Mr. Mulligan, because he's basically Jose Quintana. As Q is to the Brewers, Anderson is to the Cubs. I mean, if you just looked at his line and his record going into that game, he was 4-5 going in with a 4.6, 4.5 ERA. And you're thinking, okay, just a pedestrian guy having a pedestrian season. But he just had a bad month of May. Last year, 2.74 ERA in 25 starts. And against the Cubs in his career, 2.91, 57 and two-thirds. And last 3 starts now, 1.35 ERA. I mean, when the Cubs show up or when he's on the mound facing the Cubs, he's damn good. And I think the month of May might have been the outlier for him. But when it comes to the Cubs, it doesn't matter what kind of recency he's had. There's no recency bias. He just cranks it up. So as much as you want to see the Cubs offense continue to produce like they've been producing for the most part, and it's a little disconcerting that even with a guy who's kind of owned you the way he has, you got to have better than an infield hit against him. So, sometimes you do have to just give credit where credit's due and say it was Chase Anderson's night, because it usually is against the Cubs.
Yeah, of course, it's a little Chase Anderson, a little bit of the Cubs offense. Now, even though they've been winning of late, go back to the Pittsburgh series over the weekend, taking 2 of 3, they scored 1, 2, and 3 runs.
Yeah.
So it's not like the offense has been on a big roll here. Only 2 singles last night. The closest they got to scoring was when Zobrist reached second base in the top of the second inning on that Contreras infield single there. Hayward goes 0 for 3, the new you go, we go. They don't do anything when Jason Hayward doesn't do anything.
Didn't go.
The guy to watch for the last few weeks is Chris Bryant.
Oh, boy, here we go.
And what happens moving forward. I'm not saying there's anything wrong.
No, but he all of a sudden yesterday, everyone started asking, hey, by the way, you notice the 0 for 16 and 4 strikeouts? And so, I mean, he was there to say, yeah, I'm frustrated, but now it's starting to get to the point where people are talking about it.
Well, his last home run was back on May 14th. He's had 11 hits this month. 10 of them are singles.
Yep.
And what jumped out to me, it didn't get a lot of coverage because the Cubs kept winning and it happened over the weekend. But it jumped out to me on Friday when Joe Maddon puts him in the leadoff spot. And how Joe treats his players, who does he put in the leadoff spot?
That's like the ER room.
You're struggling?
You're going to the emergency room, yes. Right.
Oh, you're struggling? Leadoff spot. Yeah. We're going to turn things around. He did it for back-to-back days and then moved him back down, and it didn't seem to generate much. So Chris Bryant's the guy to watch moving forward.
Yeah, last night it was all about the lack of Cubs offense and how good Chase Anderson was. Brian, you bring up the numbers against the Cubs specifically, and he has had a lot of success for whatever reason. You know, he's a fine major league pitcher, I suppose, but some guys just have the number of some teams, and it looks like Chase Anderson might be one of those guys against the Cubs. The Chris Bryant thing, you know, if I were a Cub fan, and thank God I'm not, I would be extremely patient with this young man. Because
we don't watch him.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah. We're never going to tell you where the meetings are.
I would never want to know.
He doesn't want to know. You missed that point.
That's the point, is I don't want anything to do with...
I don't want to be in any club that wants me as a member.
Exactly.
Cubby Blue Nation. Anyway.
Kevin wants to stand outside.
Chris Bryant.
With his jerky.
Has...
I got jerky, guys. Let me in. I got Cubs jerky.
Don't Chris Bryant is what I'm trying to say. And any of these Cub fans on Twitter or on the text line are sitting next to me that are petulant and spoiled about what the Cubs have done.
I think a concern is there an injury there? No? I don't think anybody's worried about Chris Bryant.
Okay.
But all of a sudden the power's gone.
Yeah.
Just wondering.
Ever since you talked to A-Rod.
Just checking up on him.
You are unbelievable.
Maybe he needs to take
some... blame it. He's got A-Rod stink.
He's got a shot for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there some order that you want this put in to answer this question?
Sure.
Like in a timeline.
You've got thoughts.
Timeline. Yeah. I've got thoughts. Yeah. All right. That loss last night felt so much worse than how good I felt after the win the night before. That was absolutely awful. This is going to be a race now. This is not going to be as easy as I thought after yesterday's win. We'll start it off with the softball game between the Cubs' wives and girlfriends against the Brewers' wives and girlfriends. And all the Cubs who have wives or girlfriends, and I guess depending on what city you're in, they've got pictures of them on their T-shirts, and they're cheering them on and giving advice on how to not get a hit in a game with first place on the line in the National League. I mean, what are we doing?
It's for charity.
It's charity.
Great, yeah, okay. Having an off day. And I heard if you bought a ticket to that game, you automatically got a ticket to the real game. I mean, are they that desperate to sell? I thought that was a 35th and Shields gimmick. I didn't know that was a thing. Since we're going to take shots, I'm going to take shots as well.
What?
Okay. What do you mean? What did you? Did,
I mean,
did,
what?
Did
what?
The 30 seconds ago, all of a sudden, erase from your mind?
So
he's going to take shots.
So top
I'm
of the agenda.
Shots.
Top of the agenda is get back at Kevin.
Yes. No.
Then it's complain about the Wags. Yeah. And now it's...
No, it wasn't top of the agenda until he started it. I just finished things, okay?
Yeah.
That's how
it works. So why don't you get to answering the question? Yeah.
I just did. That was part one.
At least 17 minutes later than yesterday.
Okay, that was part one of it. Then we'll get into the game, the real game.
There we go.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, top of the...
Who won that game for those that didn't...
The Brewers. The Brewers. They swept the doubleheader.
Any controversy?
I don't think so.
No? Any bad rundowns?
I don't think the eye black was exactly placed properly on some of the wives.
Can I say it shouldn't be wags? It shouldn't be wives and girlfriends. It should be wives or girlfriends.
Wives and or.
Well, maybe some people are more open minded. They can bring the girlfriend if the wife doesn't.
Addison Russell might be able to field a team by himself.
That might be the line of the day. And you might be getting a timeout. But
did Brittany Arrieta play?
Oh, please.
No, she was too busy looking at her Cartier watch.
I was going to say, they get watches after the winning team get watches?
Wow, this is out of control.
Bitter beer face award, then she won. All right, so can we go into the real reasons? So, top of the second inning, Zobrist walks. Contreras gets an infield single. Okay, one of the two big Cubs
hits
last
night.
So, first and second. Followed by, of course, Baez striking out, swinging. And if I were the ump last night, I'd have been totally fine with this. He should have been thrown out of that game. There's a huge curveball that hits the top of the strike zone. It was a strike. It wasn't even close. It was a strike. He glares back, has thoughts, drops the bat, acts like it was an accident, completely showing up the... Take a seat. Enough. Okay? I know he's spectacular and he's fun to watch, but his attitude stinks out loud. Then Russell lines into a double play. Zobrist, Mr. Base Runner, is way off of second base because he needs that extra leadoff to get anywhere on time.
Wow.
So you're doubled up.
Come on.
And the game,
now you're
the
on the minus
was
zone.
Lost right there if it wasn't lost out in the parking lot during the wives and girlfriends against each other for charity.
Well, that's a good question.
Asked and answered.
Lord.
Has Mike Montgomery exceeded expectations? How good is he, and how important is his start today?
How did his wife or girlfriend do? 3 for 4?
Well, she doesn't have the same last name as Mike. That's interesting you bring that up.
Girlfriend or wife?
Very progressive.
Let's stick to the baseball.
Yeah.
Jesus. Before we all get a day off.
He's exceeded my expectations because I didn't expect him to be in the starting rotation as much as he wanted to be. We know he's very good. For the most part, he's been very good at whatever role they've asked him to do. And how important is this start? I love to see him win the series. I wanted them to sweep the series. So it's only important that he keeps doing what he's doing because we'll get to Yu Darvish with the bullpen session, but no one seems to know exactly when he's coming back. So it's not next week. It's probably not the following week. So you're going to get a couple Mike Montgomery starts, a couple more. So you want to see him continue to do what he's doing. Now, sub-2 ERA and being basically a stopper on the staff, I mean, God bless him for doing it. I don't know if that sustains itself, but he's been damn good. And he could – how many teams could he start for and be a second or third starter right now if he wasn't with the Chicago Cubs? So
He's backing up his words. He knows he's a starter in his heart and in his arm. He's showing he's a starter.
Yeah, you know, you worry that there will be kind of reversal to the norm with him because he's been that good. He's been spectacular, and he wants to be a starter, and he's gotten his chance, and he's certainly taken advantage of it. I don't know that this start is entirely crucial to him. I think it's interesting. You had the 30 pitches out of the bullpen, and then Joe is optimistic about it. And you wonder, oh, does that mean Yu's coming back? How does that affect Mike Montgomery? Does he know that he's a kind of a space holder and that he's heading back? Or do you look at what happened with losing from Tyler Chatwood? Is there a possibility, I guess, that Mike Montgomery can get himself into the conversation as one of the five starters? I don't believe that is the case, but maybe it is in his mind. And the more performances he has as he's been stacking them together, I think the more unlikely you are to want to take a guy like that out. So, you know, kudos to him. He's kind of put his money where his mouth is and has been a real godsend for this team at this time. And, yeah, I'd love to see him win the game. I think the Cubs belong in first place, and you want him to continue that dominance over the Brewers.
When they have to make the Mike Montgomery decision, it's about the guy that pitched last night.
It's not
about Yu Darvish.
You got another month to sort that out.
Yes, so they won't have to make that decision until they have to. Montgomery feels maybe a little more valuable today going against Milwaukee, who struggles against left-handed pitching. So you expect a strong performance out of him. Going back to his last 10 starts since last summer, he's had 8 outings. 8 of his 10 starts, he's allowed no runs or 1 run. So he's certainly exceeded expectations based on just being a swing guy, a guy you bring out of the bullpen just to get you through this patch because you're dealing with an injury or two or whatever you're dealing with in the rotation over the last couple of years. So viewing him, if you were in the rotation as a number 5 starter, that would be very, very good. And he's under control for the next 3.5 seasons. You would think that the Cubs would want him in that rotation. That's why, you know, looking back, and of course, we're basing a lot of this on results, but looking back, why did the Cubs jump the market so much on Tyler Chatwood when nobody was getting paid? But, yes, certainly.
Well, they had lost 2 starters, right? I mean, I think that was why they jumped the market with Chatwood.
Yeah, and they didn't think Montgomery was one, right?
Well, no, right.
Yeah, but they really did buy into the whole idea of his road splits made him a different pitcher outside of Mile High.
Right. Somebody from the Cubs told me last week that they think Tyler Chatwood could be Roy Oswalt when they figure out, you know, they get everything straight with him. I don't know if you meant Roy Oswalt in his, like, last year.
My next question was, how old was Roy when they saw, you know, the comparison?
Yeah, that's a little crazy. But, yeah, this person that told me that, very, very close to the team. As far as Mike Montgomery goes,
he's got people.
I've got people now. You know what? I'm not a pup anymore, Brian.
Did Clark share anything else with you?
No, I'm working on getting him a pair of pants, you know, one step at a time for old Clark. You know, he's got some issues of his own. Mike Montgomery is very valuable to a team like the Cubs. That's, you know, they can use him out of the bullpen. They can use him as a spot starter. His last 3 starts have been very good. Almost as good as Dylan Covey's been lately, but Montgomery's been showing out as well.
One guy's been doing a lot longer.
Interestingly enough, before this run of good starting appearances for Montgomery was that game against Cleveland where he gave up 6 runs out of the bullpen, since then, he's been lights out, so I expect another good outing for Monty today. It's just a question of whether or not they prefer him in the bullpen to use his versatility when everybody gets healthy.
He's overperformed. I didn't expect him to be as good as he's been overall as a starter. He did have a clunker. I think it was the 2nd start against the Indians. He had a clunker. But here's the biggest question is going to be when we see how good of a teammate he possibly can be. When Yu Darvish is back up and running, Yu Darvish obviously is going back into the starting rotation. Okay, Tyler Chatwood is going to stay in the starting rotation, or he's going to be gone or something. Tyler Chatwood's not a bullpen guy. Right? I mean, not the way that guy.
Well, where's he going? You just signed him to a 3-year.
But your point is that his versatility, Monty's versatility,
yes,
damns him to the bullpen.
Correct.
When that moment comes.
Right. I mean,
Tyler
Chatwood's not going to the bullpen. So, and
right,
then all of a sudden, you're not going.
Why?
To the six.
Why? Is he pitcher Tommy LaStella? He's going to tell him what.
Brian, would you bring him out of the bullpen at any moment?
Well,
when
I
he's
mean,
got control issues?
I didn't say you bring him out in a
long,
pressure. In
you're
a
gonna long relief that guy?
I didn't say you put him in a high leverage situation. You might be mop up Tyler Chatwood for a while. It might be, you
well,
know,
that
the
would
game's
be
out
very,
of control, Tyler Chatwood.
Listen, that would be very interesting. And I'm not saying I personally
it might be
would
Justin
be
Wilson is what I'm saying.
I
yeah
can't see this group, Theo and Jed, okay, they signed this guy.
Yeah, giving up on a guy that quick.
Yeah. I Madden has talked about that he's got what, circus type stuff? Circusly goofy, whatever. But Monty's going to go back to the bullpen in a couple of weeks, and we're going to see what his attitude is like, and that will show how good of a teammate he really is.
How many times are you going to play that game of going back and forth, back and forth,
yeah,
back and forth? I mean,
they're here to win. I mean, that's his role. Mully just put it better than I can.
I don't think he's been a bad teammate.
Damn.
I mean, he did express well, it's not.
I'm
the
not
first
saying he's a bad teammate. We're going to find out how good of a teammate he is.
I think he's been a pretty good teammate.
I didn't say he wasn't.
Okay.
But now he's actually had the real taste of starting, and so far so good. Big start today, by the way. This is a big start.
Yes,
this
big
is a big
start. Yep.
Okay, whether all you 162 folks out there, this is a big one. This is one of those big ones in the 162.
What? He's got cartoonish stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they're here to win, but okay, fine. What makes you a better rotation? With Montgomery in it or not?
Yeah. I agree that Montgomery's better than Chatwood, but what are you, my
yeah,
point
I,
is,
no, I know.
What are you doing
they
with
made
Tyler
the move.
Chatwood?
They made the mistake.
It's only
see
money, though. I
if
mean,
you get to the postseason, that's a whole other thing, right? But you don't need five guys in the postseason. That's a whole, but I'm talking about.
Do you live with your mistake or at some point saying, you know, like Justin Wilson last year, at some point they just said, the guy can't throw strikes, and guess what? We can't use him.
This group will live with that mistake. This is a much bigger.
No, but I'm saying as they were Justin trying to Wilson win something, you didn't see Justin Wilson being
right,
brought in
right
in game situations.
Correct.
That's an interesting question, Joe.
Was Joe Madden's reaction to the U news good news or typical Madden optimism?
I think you have to take it as good news. But it's also you got to take it from Joe. So it is a lot. Joe's never going to come out and like, oh, that was a train wreck. What a disaster.
See, now you got a headline.
He couldn't find a
yeah
spot. Exactly.
Boy, did you see what
so
I saw
Joe,
out there?
Joe was like, hey, my guy's out there. He's pitching. Oh, you know, there's no guy. There's no one. He wasn't going against anyone, but man, was he locating his stuff and everything. Seashells and balloons and moving forward, it's going to be happy and glorious. And that's you know, the way you kind of have to be in life when you're dealing with professional sports. So I take everything injury-related with sort of a grain of salt. I think it's good that you is actually doing a bullpen session. I know the plan is now to give him a day off, see how he feels, and then he'll be back doing another bullpen on Friday or Saturday, and that sounds like a good timetable to get him back before the All-Star break, which would be nice, and we'll talk a little bit to Jim Hickey later in this program, and we'll get his take on what he saw. And, you know, again, they have seen you pitch, so they know what they're looking for, and hopefully they're going to see it continue here, and it's onward and upward. I know that recovery is never a straight line. It's more like incremental, and this is another step in the recovery process. So I take that as good news and not just Joe optimism.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mully. You know, I saw Jim Hickey there, and I thought it was interesting that Joe had his beret on, his easel, and his oil paints, and he was commissioning some art while he was watching the bullpen session.
It's my bad.
Yeah, it was future T-shirts. If he had come out and said, "Boy, I was hoping for better," then I'm interested. I was much more interested in hearing what Theo had to say, and he said, "I came in there expecting not much, and he showed me a lot more." So I'm paraphrasing here, but Theo's evaluation was, I didn't just because he's just been playing catch, that he used all his pitches, 28 pitches, and that Theo walked away more impressed than he thought he was going to be. And Theo gives you straight talk most of the time, and Joe gives you Joe optimism, and that's the different roles they have with the ball club. So it didn't shock me that Joe thought everything was good to go, even though a couple days ago he volunteered that it might not be till post All-Star game to see you. And that was interesting when Yu Darvish was asked about that. Well, I haven't been told that. And then he said, I hope to be pitching before the All-Star break. And then the next sentence, but I'm going to be careful because I've had Tommy John. I mean, he answered that pretty much every way he could answer it. So tell me what the timeline is. I don't think they know yet, and they'll probably we'll talk to Jim Hickey. It's probably a lot of how Yu Darvish feels today and tomorrow and moving forward. And so, you know, I was much more interested in Theo's reaction, but Joe's reaction was what I expected.
Anytime I see a headline, Madden positive, Madden pleased, I just keep it moving. It really, honestly, doesn't mean much to me.
I love it.
Because that's going to be Joe most of the time. There are a lot of steps left moving forward. So I really don't have much of a reaction. I don't. Okay, we knew he was going to throw the bullpen through 30-pitch bullpen, and I expected this sort of reaction to come from the Cubs. It doesn't sound like he's going to be back anytime soon, and it sounds like it's going to be near the All-Star break. That would be a typical timeline with this injury and with Yu Darvish. So I would expect them to push it a little bit more. Just wait. Why rush before the All-Star break? But not a big deal. I think it's typical Madden optimism.
Yeah, I'm completely numb to anything Joe Madden says, good, bad, indifferent.
He said Dylan Covey's really good.
Oh, well, that's doesn't mean anything to me. Even still, I don't know, you're trying to trick me there. I know it's a little early here, but got to wake up pretty early in the morning to get one over on me, all right? I will believe that Yu Darvish is back, and I will feel optimistic about his season going forward when he makes a start in the major league and makes it out of the dreaded fifth inning and looks like the Yu Darvish from the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Texas Rangers and the guy that they actually paid all that money for. That's when I'll be optimistic about Yu Darvish's prospects.
Well, looky here. Kevin and I are going to agree on something. I'm just going to up it just a tad by saying, you know, wake me up when he's going to make that next scheduled start at Wrigley Field. That's what I'm
Did you give him credit for driving to Milwaukee? Theo did. They see that? They could have just flown to St. Louis and met the team there, but he pushed the timeline.
Good
and he
teammate.
Got.
I mean, I'm excited, I guess, because the timeline is.
I thought that would have jumped out at you that the $126 million guy got in a car and drove to Milwaukee. Yeah,
I do think he drove.
Yes, absolutely.
No, I think the translator drove.
The interpreter.
Him too.
All of them were in the car.
All three.
And the wife and girlfriend.
No, they were playing in the game.
Boy, that's a great question.
I can't get past that, can we?
I mean, really?
Right,
how about on the off day? How about Thursday on the way out of Milwaukee?
They wanted people to watch.
Wait a minute. There's a game this afternoon.
They wanted people to pay attention.
How about play it after the game?
No one's going to stay. Would you stay?
Oh, God. Is that a real question?
That's a very, very interesting question.
Is the James Shields trade back on?
Yeah, I told Molly. I told Molly would have been on in the third inning. If I was Rick Khanna, I'd be on the phone and say, hey, are you watching this here? Get on the line. You know, go online. You can watch it. We're streaming this thing. What do I hear for James Shields? Anytime he's in the process, not even wait till he's done with a good game. And he's had, you know, what, 8 of the last 10 been more than decent starts. And that was a good one. So when he's pitching like that, Rick Khanna should be playing, you know, speed dialing any GM he can think of who might be interested. And I would actually have an in-game auction if such as you could get an auction on James Shields. Yes, it's always on in my world.
Oh, I just can't get past it. Yeah, the James Shields trade is always on. It's just, is he tradable is the question we have every start. So we were very optimistic about a possible trade, and then his last outing, it was like, well, okay, is the James Shields trade off? So I love that he has another good outing, and now the trade is back on. Hey, the trade should be back on. The trade should never have been off, but I think when you watch that, if you are without any pitching,
yeah,
and he's big game player, I think you know, let's get rid of James Shields again. I'm very optimistic.
You might have to get creative and get a third team involved.
You know, I'm more than willing to get 15 of them if you can make a move for anything. Yeah. Yes.
You might just have to get a big check involved.
James Shields is back to being a kind of a wily veteran, and he's throwing some junk, and he's been in big moments, and he won't kind of overreact to anything. And, here's hoping. I mean, I'm trying to make a sale here. I hope anybody's listening.
What do you think you're getting?
He's a great. He's getting a great leader to the young guys.
Yeah. No, you just have to.
You're getting like a John Lackey type.
You just
no,
have.
You're not.
No,
you yeah, a guy no. that can sniff the finish line. No, come
you,
on.
You have to write a check for every bit.
A guy that can come out of the bullpen and just get blown up.
A 2.22 ERA. Yeah.
You're going to sell a lot of dollar hot dogs to get the money to go with the...
Give us this, Joe. For God's sake, just give us this.
You can have them. Oh, my God. Yes, the White Sox trade is on for James Shields. It's off for the rest of Major League Baseball.
We'll throw
That's
in Daniel
problem.
Polka, yeah.
Hey, stop
no,
it.
No, you're
Daniel
not trading
Polka
Daniel
can hit.
Polka.
I know, it's a sweetener.
Yeah, stop
Boy,
it.
Easy.
No, you don't need to sweeten
oh,
his
ass here. He had a nice catch last night, too,
I know,
by
that's
the way.
Right. That's right. You
got getting better.
Sell high on the Polka stuff. Yeah.
Touch my Daniel Polka.
I won't.
Look at you.
HR will call.
Is that department still up and running here?
In St. Louis.
I don't want to move James Shields quite yet. Let's let him acquire a little bit more of a run here. You know, he outside of his last start, he's, I think, exceeded expectations for everybody. White Sox fan, Cub fans. I mean, we thought this guy was a complete washed-up joke, and he's really proven, you know, despite all of the derision yes. and the jokes that he's yes. still got something. And
yes.
he doesn't have the live arm that he used to have. He used to have, you know, totally nasty stuff, but now he's just like a junk baller.
Veteran guy.
He's embraced it. He's got the soft contact rate. He's a leader. He's a vet.
Big time leader.
We here. Always get Let's this question when we deadline. Talk about it. Would you rather have James Shields or Tyler Chatwood?
Well, we'll save that one for tomorrow.
That's a good one.
And this is not a shot at 35th and Shields before we start getting
right,
down,
which,
yeah,
which means it is.
Not you.
No, it's not. Yeah. No, I said
it's like don't get me wrong.
Question.
I like the guy, but yeah here we go.
I'm re-answering this question. I've said this before. I believe that a change of scenery might do him good. Listen, they gave him runs early, and he was able to protect it and sit on it. He felt comfortable in that situation. I just think on a better team. That's listen. Sox are. I'm the guy that thought they were going to play 500 ball this year.
Well, yeah.
Right. I thought this team was going to be much better than advertised. I was drinking the black Kool-Aid. Okay. So, listen. I think he would just do better on a team that was in contention. So yes, I think it's on. I think he would like to go, and I think the White Sox would like to see him go.
Wow, that's a real loaded question, but I'm sure it's directed at Dustin.
What do you make of this quote about Bryce Harper?
So everything
from
runs
a
downhill.
Yeah.
Top National League executive. Quote,
this is a two-part question. It's going to take 5 minutes. Go ahead.
He's simply overrated. The good ain't worth the bad. He's a losing player, cares about himself more than the team. If I was in charge and had money, my team would not pursue him. We would use that money to sign 2 to 3 winning players. He is a selfish, losing player.
He's a loser. You're fired. Look, I'd love to have Bryce Harper on my team. I think he's a really good player. Are there better players? You know, when a guy is as young as he is and as good as he is, as quickly as he has been, then the expectation level rises. And I think that, you know, the amount of money he's going to get is, I think he's going to get more money than Manny, because I think that the agent is probably more aggressive and he's going to set records. A guy his age, 4-time All-Star, being on the market. I don't know what this question really is. Do I believe that he's a loser and a selfish player? I think that modern athletes are probably pretty selfish players. You know, when you're the center of whatever town you grew up in, and you're the best player on every team you've ever been on, and you're, you know, celebrated, and you know, you tend to start believing that you're important and things that you think are very important. So I think, there are a lot of significantly worse players that probably have a more selfish attitude than he does, or as selfish an attitude as he does. I guess you can look at how he's done in the big moments. He needs to do better in the big moments. He needs to do better in the playoffs. He hasn't necessarily put a team on his back and taken off. I mean, you know, is he Mike Trout? No, Mike Trout. I would rather have Mike Trout, but I certainly would want to have Bryce Harper. So, you know, you start talking the money and all the rest of it, and that's where the expectation is created. But I don't think that he's overrated. I think he's a seriously good player. I don't know.
You know, I watched them for years. They're losers.
Yeah, I don't know that he's having a great year, but, you know, give me the two or three players. Let me know who they are and how they're going to fit in. I think, you know, it's always good to have superstars, and I think this guy's a hell of a baseball player. I take him on my team.
Yeah, look, the 19 home runs get your attention. The OPS of 869 gets your attention. The batting average of 228 gets your attention in the other direction. Here's my conspiracy theory before Dustin beats me to it. Mike Rizzo was the unnamed executive. And then that allowed Mike Rizzo, the GM of the Washington Nationals, to tell the Washington Post, get up on a soapbox and sing the praises of Bryce Harper. So he could be the bad guy and the good guy on record so that Bryce Harper will re-sign with the Nationals. So he wore the black hat as the unnamed source. Of course, I'm joking. But Mike Rizzo absolutely said the guy's everything you want in a baseball player. It tells you the Washington Nationals are going to try to sign him with every dollar
yes,
they have.
He's a great player.
And every ounce of energy Mike Rizzo can muster. But it is interesting. The legitimate question is, if you're going to spend $400 million, $350 or $400 million, whatever the final price tag is whether you believe he's overrated or a winner or a loser, it doesn't matter. Is that money better spent going get two or three players of high quality? If you're spending $120 million per player times three and you get three guys to fill out a 25 roster as three starters, whether pitchers, now that's a legitimate conversation. No matter if you think he's the greatest player in the history of the game or you think your money's better spent elsewhere. So I think that part of the conversation is legitimate. The other part of it, I don't think many national executives would share the anonymous GM's quotes on Bryce Harper.
We have losers.
Some teams do, but I don't know that he necessarily is one of them.
Another quote from this top NL executive, which who even knows if that's the case, is that if he gets 10 years, $30 million a year, they would be surprised. I would not be surprised. Bryce Harper, 25 years old. You mentioned 19 homers. It's on pace for 48 home runs this year. But, it,
you know,
but he's completely overrated.
The 10-year contracts, I mean, this past offseason, you saw the front offices don't want to go long-term. I mean, you know, maybe it's yeah. Jason Hayward disease that people are going to recoil on 8 to 10-year contracts no matter.
Yeah, but I think part of last offseason was about this offseason, some of the top teams saving money so they can go after Machado, so they can make sure they go after Harper. The losing thing, I think that's more of a Nationals thing, isn't it? Are we blaming the DS exits by the Nationals in the playoffs four times recently, all on Bryce Harper?
I thought we were blaming Dusty.
Yeah, it was Dusty before. But yeah, I don't think it's fair to put all of that on Bryce Harper. But usually when stuff like this comes out of absolutely nowhere, you think, okay, what's the motivation? What was the point? Are they trying to depress the market of Bryce Harper? That's my takeaway.
He's got pretty good hair.
We got a guy saying that the National League executive is indeed Donald John Trump, and another saying Brian Colangelo's wife.
You know, I don't agree that Bryce Harper is a losing player. I think he's a fantastic player, but I do actually agree with this part of the quote where you can get two to three winning players for the same price.
That's a legit question.
So, you know, just hypothetically, you can sign a guy like Jason Hayward, a guy like Tyler Chatwood, and a guy like Yu Darvish
for the price of
Bryce Harper, and then you get all that value from those three guys instead of just having one outstanding
player. Or you could have a $72 million payroll and tell everyone wait till 2020.
I'll be enjoying my dollar hot dogs tonight, buddy, and I'll talk to you after that one.
No, you won't. Not taking the call.
Not taking the call. I mean, I think it's a pretty straightforward question. What do you make of the quote? Brian, I didn't think about it. I love that conspiracy theory, knowing how things work behind the scenes like you guys do, and that would not surprise me. If that was actually,
I was being facetious.
I know you were, but it makes sense to me, and that probably
see, he looks like
anybody.
A hero, right? And Rizzo
absolutely.
Looks like a hero. I stand
absolutely
on a soapbox
right.
and scream as yells praises.
Here's the thing, using the Cubs as an example, the Cubs don't need Bryce Harper patrolling right field to get rear ends in the seats. They don't. They don't need that. Okay, so that's one part of it. The other part is they're built to win right now, right this very second. He doesn't produce in the postseason. So that's just a fact. I saw it with my eyes and I can read the stats. So I'm using the eye test and the metrics to tell me that he doesn't. So he's not worth this kind of money, not over the long haul. And I do think he's a little bit of me, but I'm not there. But what I see on TV when I see him, he does look like a me, I guy.
Yeah. All right, that is the 5 at 5. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. The telephone number. Who or what is the biggest reason the Cubs lost Tuesday? Has Mike Montgomery exceeded your expectations? How good is he? How important is this start to him in terms of sticking in the rotation? Has Joe Maddon's reaction to the news, was that good or was that just Joe reacting? Is James Shields, is that trade back on, the imaginary one that we're trying to get something for him? What do you make of this quote about Bryce Harper that a top National League executive says he's overrated and he's a selfish losing player?
And this segment on The Score brought to us by SportClips. Check in online at sportclips.com/check-in. Claim your spot today.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.